Hey, hey, we're back after a long, excruciating 2 weeks off. There's another season of The Bachelor. I don't need to tell our listeners that, though. They watched it not last night. We're recording this on Wednesday, so Monday night. It's nice to be back on Monday night.
Yeah, except that what difference does it make?
Well, it gets through the weekend better. To me.
It does in real life, but not in this home life. You know, Mondays, you work, but now you're home. But I agree with you in that it sets me back to having a full week.
Yes, exactly. You don't have to think about Tuesday as being the night. It just gets it out of the way early. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to Thursday night, tomorrow night, because they're doing a primetime Wheel of Fortune for the first time ever.
Craig. And how they jet around to
Chris Harrison is going to be one of the celebrity contestants.
Oh, I saw that. All the D-list celebrities. I did see that.
I don't know. I wouldn't call Drew Carey a D-list celebrity.
Have you ever?
I would.
Yeah.
He's more like B-list. He hosts The Price is Right. That's like legit.
He looked into that. That's something that was earned. He does such a bad job. Come on.
Frank. I like him as the host.
Really? He doesn't have any of the host that Bob Barker. Bob Barker is the gold standard. He was just so flowy. And Drew Carey.
Well, I like Drew Carey because he roots for the contestants and he gets sad when they don't win. Like, he's very emotive. Which I like.
He really
wants them to win. Word.
Like, he's like, oh, you didn't get the... Oh, okay, bye. See you later.
Listeners of the pod know that we have this bit called the Fashion Roundup, which we usually do at the end, where we talk about what we like and what we didn't like in the Bachelor world of fashion. I'm going to suggest we play the Fashion Roundup drop now, because basically, everything I remember from the episode is somehow contextualized by fashion. I remember the women by what they wore. So we can kind of make that our theme for this week, is talking fashion.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
And that's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
Aw, it's good to hear co-host Chris's voice again. Yeah, so let's do that, huh?
Yeah.
Although I'm going to eat my own words, because I kind of want to kick off by talking about Queen Victoria. And
Craig, you wanted to talk about fashion.
Well, I was kind of thinking like anytime we bring up a woman, we would say what she wore. But Queen Victoria is the one exception, because she didn't really wear anything. I mean, she wore a tiara, but it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. I was just going to say that I think she's a bad villain. And it's because she has no chance.
Kit is not the real villain. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You think Kit is the villain?
Oh, yes.
Kit is absolutely the villain. Victoria is I feel like I was texting with my friend Jocelyn, as you know, Bachelor Masters super fan Jocelyn, what we were watching on Monday night. And she was saying, you know, how much she hated Victoria. And I was like, I don't even care in any way about Victoria.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So if she were the villain or whatever, comic relief, she's just not a good one, because she's just not, she doesn't have a chance. Like, the best villains, the best comic release actually have some kind of chance of making it far, but she doesn't stack up at all against these other women.
No, she was clearly chosen only to be like a shit stirrer for a few episodes.
Antagonist, yeah.
Yeah.
But not to the main antagonist. So, yeah. Remember when I was so excited for Cillian Murphy to be the Scarecrow in Batman, and then it didn't go anywhere.
Huh?
That? I don't know. It's just, it reminded me of
that. What on earth I have a are big you talking Cillian about? Murphy. First of all, who the hell is Cillian Murphy?
Oh my god.
Dear Craig. Lord Craig, like the best Caitlin, I hear your voice.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know exactly who Cillian Murphy is because he's a noted, very handsome man.
So handsome.
Oh well, he ended up playing the Scarecrow.
Yeah, but do you remember?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah,
he was the Scarecrow in Batman Begins, and so he reprised the role in Batman: The Dark Knight Returns
as Spencer Pratt
or Rises. I should say. What is going on here?
It's a go-nowhere role, in a way. And it sucks, because Cillian Murphy deserves to still be in, like, romantic comedies and all this stuff, and I feel like it killed his,
He's in a lot of Christopher Nolan stuff. He was in Inception.
Yeah, he uses people over and over again.
Yeah, he's really good at Inception.
Yeah, I think what I am reading EZR's comparison to Cillian Murphy is that Victoria was built up, especially last... the ending of The Bachelorette, when they showed the preview for the season, like, they clearly outed that Victoria was going to be somebody involved in conflict. Like, they literally said her name in the preview. So she is built up as this, like, she's clearly going to be an issue because of her whole thing, which is, like, that she says she's a queen and all of that. But that she's not actually a real villain who's going to last, like, until at least halfway through the season or something. Like, she is only on here to annoy people, basically. Like, that's her only role. She has no connection with Matt. She has no shot of being with him. And so that's kind of a disappointment. Like, Cillian Murphy being set up as a Scarecrow is like, oh, he's going to be the big bad, but he's not, right? Like, Victoria's not the big bad person, I think.
You walk away from Batman 1 and you go Katie Holmes nipples. You walk away from Batman 2, you go Heath Ledger. You walk away from Batman 3 and you think Tom whatever.
That's why the Dark Knight trilogy is so good, is because it's multi-layered.
No, I rewatched.
The Scarecrow is integral to Batman Begins. He drives the whole plot.
Okay. You're a studier of media, Craig. Yeah. Do you ever watch 70s movies and get super confused at what's happening, even if you try to follow every single name? I just watched The Long Goodbye. Do you know that movie? Does anyone know that movie?
Long Goodbye, yeah.
Okay. Classic, right? I was trying my best to, like, follow every little detail. I even paused it and the captions on, and I'm still minorly lost. And the same thing happened with Batman 2. I was like, there's a mafia thing, and then they're I have years of SVU knowledge of courtroom scenes that made no sense.
We're not talking about the Batman trilogy here. Okay, I'm banning conversation about the Dark Knight trilogy.
You love it.
I love it. That's why I want to defend it, but then we're going to talk about that the whole podcast. Okay. And I don't think that's what our listeners want.
I will someday want to ask you so many questions and challenge your love, because.
Okay.
I'm out of the closet on this. I am a Christopher Nolan hater. Hate him.
My gosh.
I will watch all of his movies and hate them and be pissed that they're happening. Did you watch that?
What, Tenet?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not going to a movie theater during the pandemic.
It's out somehow. Yeah.
It's on one of the streaming services I don't have.
Okay.
Look. My favorite is Dark Knight Rises, which is actually counter to what a lot of people's favorite is. The Dark Knight, the second one, that's rated like the best movie of all time on IMDb. Now, I think it's kind of a police procedural, so I don't like it as much. I think the third movie is really where it's at in terms of themes of
pain.
I think it's really about, we can't talk about this.
Well, just tell me what it's really about. Just get down
to
that.
It's about flawed people trying to do good in a flawed world.
Whoa, so deep. Oh man, is that good or bad? Craig, dear Lord.
What? That's a concise.
That's why he's dark. Like, I feel like that's baked into the character from 1940 or whenever. I don't see how that's interesting anymore.
Look, can we talk about Victoria?
Fine.
Can we not talk about Victoria?
Okay.
I haven't seen any of the Batman trilogy movies that you're discussing.
Oh my god, we're still going.
How have you not seen them?
I don't know. It just wasn't, yeah, it wasn't the thing that really registered for me, I guess. I'm aware of who was in them and, you know, like some pop cultural moments. Like, I know what Bane voice sounds like and stuff, but
we must take down the repressors. Like my impression? The walls will fall at the prison and we will take on the city.
Batman characters are like superhero characters and the like, I love Heath Ledger and I'm taking him out of this conversation, but the supposed like, I'm gonna go real crazy with this character, like Jesse Eisenberg always comes to my head as Lex Luthor, is so cringy and like annoying. And I love that Tom Hardy guy too. But Craig, this is one of those things where you are gonna look back and be like, oh man.
No, I stand by Dark Knight Rises.
I know. I'm definitely wrong on this, but I don't like him. I don't like David Fincher, and I don't like Chris Nolan or his brother. I do like Westworld, though.
The magic's really his brother. He's the one that writes all the films. Okay, look.
Okay, fine. We're done.
The second thing I want to talk about was the woman who was insistent that she not go and find Matt. She was wearing a white dress the whole night.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? Is her name
Amber? I do. She was cut. I think Amber sounds right to me.
She was cut.
She didn't make it past this night.
She wasn't given an exit interview, which I thought was snarky on the part of the producers.
She got lucky. She got any time to talk at all on camera and say.
Well, what was her deal?
Yeah, that's true.
Was she thinking that she's so cool, like that Matt was going to come find her personally and come talk to her? Like, what was her deal? Like,
so
she knows how the show
I have
works.
Something that I would like to say in defense of Victoria in this situation, which is that the thing that she was doing to annoy Amber is saying she should go talk to Matt. That's, like, Victoria's
good
completely
advice.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, she is not being terrible to Amber in this situation. In fact, she seems like she's trying to encourage her. You know?
Are we still talking about the right person here? Amber is, in fact, the woman in white.
Amber's the blonde woman who was like, no, I'm not going to talk to Matt. And Victoria was like, you should go find him right now. And
she's
like, I won't stand up unless I want to. You know.
Wait a minute.
There was another lady sitting next
Kit,
to her who also...
With the pink thing.
Yes.
With the...
Kit
That's
is
Kit.
Going to be Craig. A player.
We are. Kit? Me and Caitlin have already formed
an
anti-Kit alliance.
I'm so confused.
Uh-huh. I know. We knew you would be.
Yes, I knew that Craig would not know the names of the women or anything about
them. She got
them.
Cut too, though. There were two
no,
women
she didn't.
Who wouldn't...
She did not get cut.
Oh. Okay. Her name is Pitt?
Kit.
No, Kit. Kit is the 21-year-old blonde girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Kit
not
is
who
the
I'm talking about.
Blonde girl.
That's not who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay. Rewind
All right,
the tape
then I have
here.
No idea who you're talking about. But
sitting
Kit
on
also
the couch.
Had like a Victoria run-in.
Sitting on the couch next to Amber, there was another woman. And when Kit said, or sorry, when Queen Victoria said, who hasn't talked to her, they both raised their hands.
Well, she's not important, is what I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. She probably got cut,
well,
too.
Well, can I say something about that? Even though that looks good on camera, and in real life, you think it looks good, we know, I think, Caitlin, that what Queen Victoria is doing, even though it's supposed to be positive girl power stuff, it's still condescending.
Well, of course.
Yes, she
well,
is trying to
of
needle
course,
them a little yeah. bit. But
people don't like being told what to
of,
do.
Well, it's
in
not
terms
exactly
of, like things you could say to somebody that's terrible. This is not terrible. You
no,
know what
but,
I mean?
But Craig, in girl world, there was a time when you could be catty. And I feel like this is the new way of being catty, is to just be so smiley and be so like, I love your dress. Oh, my God, you look great. Go talk to him, girl. You do it. You know, you got this. And it's actually snarky.
Okay.
It's the new snark.
Great.
Well, it's relevant.
Why didn't Amber go talk to him? Did she think she was like too cool for school? Did she not like him?
Well, maybe you said it right now. She doesn't like being told what to do, and she didn't want to do it on Victoria's time. Or maybe she just... Everyone says that all night, and they picked one woman who didn't get to actually talk to him.
I think she didn't like him. I think she saw him in person and was like, no, I don't know.
Man, I saw him. He looks way better on TV than he does in my phone. Right?
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
He's a very good-looking man. There's no
argument that somebody would meet him in person and not think he's hot. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly a very attractive man.
Yeah, but it wasn't the good-looking part, because everyone's good-looking who's going to go on The Bachelor. I give that a wash.
Pilot Pete.
Yeah. sorry, yes. No, not sorry.
Wait, Becca Kufrin?
I mean, she got it out of... Look, the men tend to be very good looking if they're picked for The Bachelor.
All right.
Or at least average. Above average. Or some great career. He seemed likable. As in, the few videos I've seen of him with Tyler or Hannah, he didn't... Him and the whole Tyler crew did not seem likable. And I guess it's a good place to reiterate that Tyler Cameron placed this guy here. And I don't think you can go back into our podcast and listen to why we don't think that's okay.
Right.
Yeah. But
you want to give us a quick recap?
Great. You can. I'm okay with not.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll just leave that hanging.
Well, go ahead and recap it. I don't know. We just don't think.
Well, it's a white man telling the producers that they should have a black man, right?
Not exactly. It's like Tyler is it was kind of insidious in that Tyler is kind of this new school of thinking where he does these things that appear woke and aren't, and him putting his buddy there or suggesting his buddy to be the new bachelor is kind of him being the puppet master.
Right.
And it's not necessarily very... Yeah, I mean, in that way, you're right. It's not necessarily very woke of them to have put in someone that someone like Tyler tells them to put in. Like, it's not exactly like, he's the favorite and everyone liked him. They're telling us that everyone likes him, but... They could tell us anything they want. They're like Netflix. This is our number one. Well,
yeah, that's true. They said they had a record number of submissions, but we don't know that.
Yeah, they have to tell us that because he wasn't a fan favorite because he's never been on the show. Well, I have something to say about that, too. This is my favorite kind of bachelor producer. Kind of retelling the story or rewriting history. So they asked him, oh, wow, they're trying the angle of you've never been on, which, Craig, you love. Right. This is great. You know, we have you're fresh to it. All the women are fresh to it. It's a new start. And I like that he answers, like, why he hasn't been on, because he was, as we know, he was going to be on Claire's season.
You're new to all this. You're new to The Bachelor.
You know, I never went on The Bachelorette. Had intentions of doing that, but being in this spot now, I feel like I'll be able to relate to these women just as we're both going through this for the first time.
So,
okay.
I like that they switched it around. I had the intentions of doing that, but the story there is that, do you guys remember what happened?
I think I do. And it was that, so he was cast for Claire's season and his picture was released and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then Claire posted, was it on Twitter? I can't remember which social media she posted it on, but something about contestants coming on for the wrong reasons and they're not there for her. And it was because he had started having a cameo. And I guess in her... Mm-hmm. Her internet stalking of all these men, which we know she was doing extremely intently over quarantine, that she had seen it. And I guess been very upset that she saw it as this thing where he's trying to get attention for himself, right? Not, she thought he didn't know his place, basically. His place is as a member of a cast for her, that like she should be the center of attention. He's trying to get attention. Therefore, that means he's not really interested in her. And I'm thinking that's why the official reason that he was taken out around that time, they were sort of like, he's going to be the bachelor, right? But that, I think it was also that she had publicly said this thing about like not liking him, basically.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and if Claire wasn't Claire, she'd have a point. Like, she was too, and I don't mean that because I hate her. I mean that because I actually think that. She was way too critical of people for doing any little thing, and we saw that live. We saw that on the episode of it, any little thing they do. Why'd you do that? Why would you even think that? Ah! So, when she has a point in that, were they going to cast Matt all along as the bachelor and never had any intentions of, you know, having her be that, I don't know, turning point catalyst to put him on TV? They just shut it down and went for it.
Okay.
Which is like, well, like we said, a little bit, it's like disingenuous, you know? You have to get to know, at this point in the Bachelor franchise, you have to get to know someone before. You can't just get to know them through some past contestant's Instagram. Well, I know you don't think that.
I think,
but they're not even
totally
giving him the
refreshing.
Old, but they're not giving him the old cut. The old, when they used to bring Bachelors on that were every single season someone you'd never had seen before, it was like, well, this man does this and this and this, and I had no idea what he had, like, I had no idea from the commercials what he had done. You'd have to take a deep dive into social media to find out about him, and they didn't really do that. They expect you to have known already,
right?
And I
mean,
think
he
that's
helps
kind of
little
not
kids
fair.
In the inner city, has them work out.
I think that's a, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. It's like, whatever. I mean,
well,
he's,
I did know
I'm
that.
Not saying he's a bad dude. I'm saying that it's.
What are you saying?
They're flipped. Well, I'm not talking about that part yet, but I think they flipped the script where that could have looked bad on Claire and it could have looked bad on Matt, but instead they kind of washed it away. They said, oh, I hadn't, you know, I had intentions of going on that, but it didn't work out that way. Like, it's just like, oh, here's your answer to that. That's enough of that. Bye. Next. Mm-hmm. So it's very Bachelor franchise to kind of rewire our memories. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. That's my point.
Let's get back to the
question
here.
Well, I think we should talk about Matt a little bit and his intro, right? Okay. And we can also talk about his fashion because he wears the same outfit throughout the night, but he also has some outfits in his intro. I think, so part of me, I'm sort of in the middle of two of you, I think, on this, which is that I like that Matt hasn't been on before. I think it's like perfectly fine to have somebody who we don't have an investment in, but it is weird that they didn't, it felt like the introduction for him didn't give you all that much, if that makes sense, that it didn't really say anything.
Right.
Like, they sort of just glossed over his, you know, he was cast on Claire and then didn't work out that way, but they don't tell you anything about why he was the person that they selected overall. You know, it just goes straight to like, here he is, he's working out shirtless. They love to show Matt James shirtless.
every bachelor. Yeah.
Every bachelor, but yeah, lots of shirtless shots. Here he is working out in the gym, I'm assuming at the resort is what we are seeing. I don't know if y'all noticed on the credits, they said special thanks to Peloton because they provided a Peloton for Matt to ride on screen, I guess.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's a very brief shot of him riding one. So they got their ad time in, I suppose. But yeah, all these like shots of him, like is he flying a plane or is somebody else flying that plane? Unclear, but he's in a plane. Yeah, I was sort of like, can he fly a plane, or is that like, I'm confused.
Now, there was a
about
guy
that was
tucked in the second seat there, I noticed.
All right, yeah, that's down. What I thought might be happening, but it was kind of a weird introduction to say like, check him out flying this plane. It's like, well, is that an integral part of his story, or
wasn't that an introduction to the new location?
Yeah, it was like, we're gonna fly you over the new location so you can
tell us it's also beautiful. Like,
it,
you know,
it looks beautiful.
It looks like gaudy, ugly hell. That
yeah.
Man Nation, but
I think we're going to go against Bachelor Nation on this. But I thought I'm never going to visit that place again.
The atmosphere, like the foliage and stuff. Ooh, nice foliage.
Wow.
Oh, yes, the foliage.
Yeah. I don't see that anywhere else in the world. I feel like it's everywhere, but
there's like something rolling hills, foliage, northeasty kind of area. This is it's outside of Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's like that side of Pennsylvania. So it's like more countryish, right? But yeah, I thought the introduction was sort of weird in that we didn't. It felt very perfunctory in lots of ways. You have the conversation with him and his mom, which gives us some of the background in terms of like him being raised by a single mom and things like that, right? So they're giving you some story there that presumably you would have gotten if he'd been a contestant who made it far with one of the other bachelorettes.
You know what other mixed race man was raised by his white mother? Anyone?
Barack Obama?
Yes, thank you.
Oh my God, Craig, that's like... You can have made it more vague. Like that's it.
Yeah, I was like racking my brain.
I would not have.
But
I was.
Caitlin got it. So
I know.
I did get it.
It's not because there's a lot of people like that. It's because
can we talk about the mom?
Hell,
yes, we absolutely can talk about his mom. I didn't catch her name or anything. I just know her as Matt's mom. Did either of you get that?
I was so shocked by how she looked that I blanked out all other information.
Looks like him. Like she has the same long
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the family genes running between the two of them.
She was also wearing cartoon there's something called this is going to be an obscure reference, but it's called Punch and Judy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I do.
She was wearing Punch and Judy makeup. Like these like circles for the cheeks and then like white for the rest of the face. Like what was going on there?
So it's Caitlin, a very dated look makeup wise, right?
You chatted in our group chat text. You said that she looks like Celine Dion. And I said, yeah, actually she does look like Celine Dion, but Celine Dion after a meth bender.
And I think you're being way too harsh on Matt's mom here. Like, she's an older lady, right? She's from Raleigh, North Carolina. I looked this up, which is a city, so it's not like she's like country.
I think you're all right,
but I liked her outfit in that talk, right? Where she was wearing pleather leggings. I guess they could have been real leather, but I assumed pleather, and a leopard print, or maybe it was like a tiger print kind of top that was a little sparkly and like tied in the center. And honestly, it's an outfit I would wear.
Like 60-year-old's outfit. I'm just kidding.
Come on. She had to wake up in the morning and pick that outfit out and then decide to put that makeup on. We can't be too lenient on her here.
Listen, I don't like the makeup, but the clothes themselves, like that's something that would be in my wardrobe. Really? So I'm not, I liked
the truth is coming out, Caitlin.
And I also liked that it wasn't like a classy mom thing. You know what I mean? Like she wasn't wearing like a suit or a string of pearls and a sweater or something. You know what I mean? Like she wasn't going for this. So felt like this is her actual style. You know what I mean?
You like that she made no attempt to dress up.
Yeah, I like that actually. I think it's very phony how some of the moms come across on this stuff, right? Normally. So she's, to me, this red very much is like, this is an outfit she likes that she would actually wear. The makeup is terrible and very unflattering to her, but I'm assuming that's what she actually wears all the time, right? That like this is how she normally looks, this is what she normally does. She's probably been doing that makeup for like 40 years.
Okay, yeah, probably. She probably bought the makeup 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's a very unflattering makeup look, but it reads to me as somebody who, like, this is the style that she picked at one point in time. She's stuck with that style, and she's never really wavered from it.
Okay, EZR, tell us what you don't like about the mom.
I have nothing. I don't care. She's fine. I didn't have, like, I mean, I guess I don't have any thoughts about her.
Really?
Yeah, and I'd seen her before, too, on, like, Good Morning America or something like that. Okay. Or maybe it was on Bachelor? Something on TV. It wasn't on my phone.
Huh.
So I'd seen her before, or they introduced her. Well, I'm sure we'll see plenty of the mom because it's hard to, they have forgotten what they used to do, you know, the old school way they would introduce somebody. And so I think they're going to have to bring, be very heavy on what this man is all about because.
Well, they, it's part of his narrative is that he,
he's
never been in love or whatever. He has trouble being in love because his parents were broken and he doesn't trust love or something like that.
That's like that's like the glass half empty version of what I heard. But basically, yeah, you're right. But it's also kind of like, I felt like he had a very positive like outlook.
Are you watching Below Deck, Caitlin?
I am not.
Uh-huh.
I've been meaning to.
just on Monday night, the same night, there's a character named James who's like this like hot, you know, like people would call him an F boy. He like likes the women and he's like hooking up with like this one woman on the boat. And he says the exact same thing. He's like, you know, I got cheated on in my first relationship. So ever since then, I've never like let myself fall in love and all that kind of stuff like that. And I'm like, that's a straight up kind of same thing he's saying there. But well,
I guess I have my like to compliment that, what you just said, Craig. I have my version of what I heard.
Okay.
In the bigger context.
Go ahead.
So, you know, first black bachelor, and I feel like, as always, is the trope or the requirement from the Bachelor franchise is that they have to be extra perfect, right? Rachel Lindsay was a lawyer. That's better career than 70% of the bachelorettes.
Right.
This guy is a Christian, but they have to be very heavy-handed with the sexual overtones. And like we've said before on this podcast, they if they aren't some non-denominational Christian, you are going to be, you can expect to be given a strange edit. Are we all there?
Well, to your point,
I want to make sure I can make my next point and we all agree on that. I thought
it was interesting that when he gave his prayer, he never said Jesus. Did you notice that?
Well, Heavenly Father is actually a Mormon. That's how you don't say God in Mormon in the LDS church.
Well, he's not LDS.
Well, that's what I thought was weird.
Well, because I think they told him, you know, pray like you would normally pray, but instead of saying Jesus, say God, because that makes it, that means that Jewish people can get on board, you know, non-Jesus God people can get on board.
I heard him say Heavenly Father, which is
specifically, I think it's also a Catholic thing too, right? That like,
I don't think he's Catholic though. Do you?
I don't think he's Catholic, but I am now going to look into this further. But that is something that I've heard. Like, I grew up in a vaguely Catholic family, and I've heard that phrase before. But yeah. I do not think that Bachelor producers would have been coaching him in order to appeal to, let's say, Jewish viewers or Jewish contestants.
See, I think they
don't
did.
Give a shit, right?
I think they said, we love that you're going to do a prayer. Just don't say Jesus, say God. It's the same prayer.
You can't say God in Jewish. They always write it with like an asterisk.
God,
I'm just telling you what I know.
You can say God, you can't friends. Say Jehovah.
I seen it written G*D. Capital G.
Okay.
I'm just good. I don't
glad
know
you've seen that.
Well,
look, my point is that it was very tactical. It was a good
right,
move
right.
To your point.
Well, right, you're the, saying
the
what
Bachelor
I'm saying
is
that
it's going towards evangelical Christianity dating show. That's what
right,
show...
or it's a non-denominational Christian. So here's where I'm getting.
Or actually, it's not non-denominational. Let's say denominationally.
Ambiguous.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say agnostic. denominationally agnostic Christianity.
Okay. There you go. Well, right. There's old school. Okay. So the Bachelor, no matter what, even with all the people of color they've brought in here, and this is going to sound like, oh, we finally got what we wanted and we're still complaining, but this is still a point that there's still like a white overtone to this basic love story. And as much as we'd like to think, us three would like to think this is an old-fashioned thing, Instagram is the number one like proper upper of this kind of message. You know, you meet someone, you court, you get a ring, you say, I said I do. And then you have like a white wedding. Like that's all Instagram stuff. So we can't really say it's like 1950s thinking. People are still thinking this way. And my bigger point is that I'm going to compare this. So I don't want to take this in an I want to take this apolitical. I'm not trying to be political here. But if you guys remember in the early 2000s, I think it was right before the Bush era or right after the Bush era, Republicans were trying to rebrand the GOP, and they were trying to bring minorities on board, and they were going with the values, families, angle, right? Trump kind of stopped that for a lot of people, and it kind of brought these like outliers in the minorities in, but I think it's a lot like that. The Bachelor franchise is acting like the Republicans did. You know, we look at all these things that people of color agree on us with, bring them on. And that common denominator is Christianity.
Yeah. Well, to Caitlin's point, though, if she's right and the producers really had nothing to do with this prayer, they had no idea he was going to do a prayer when they cast him. So that kind of lends itself to the well, everyone when they apply, no, I think that they had Christian.
I think they had something to, you know, I mean, like they had a way of pushing it, but I don't think they were dictating exactly what he said in the prayer. If that makes sense. That
yeah.
Also, I've been Googling trying to figure out what brand of Christian he is, and it is not saying exactly what. The only stuff I can find out is that. He has stated in interviews that, as people brought up, that when Tayshia dismissed Ivan, it was over a religious difference, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And so it was brought up, like, will this be a big deal to you? Like, you're a Christian. Does your future wife have to be a Christian? And he says, no, they do not have to be, because while he is very religious, that the beliefs differ even within his own family. He says his brother believes different things than he believes, et cetera, et cetera. So he's definitely Christian, but it does seem like it's very hard to figure out what flavor. It's not Catholic, I'm going to say, because normally when you say you're a Christian, you mean Protestant, not, you know, not Catholicism. That's usually specified. But I do think what it seems to me is that he probably does have the same attitude as Tayshia, that his preferred life partner should have some religious flavoring in there, but they may not need to be as religious as he is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just, so we're going towards, instead of, so, okay. Another or overarching point here is that instead of going towards all kinds of different love stories and including people of color and all this stuff, all we're doing is including people of color into what's now Christian based.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. And I just think it's, I mean, yeah, if it's comparable to the GOP, where are we going with this? Like I said, I don't want to make it political. I'm just making it, in fact, it's like the most apolitical, you know, it's strictly secular. Anyway, I want to, if you know,
don't things tend to, is what you're saying.
Things tend to, well, no, I'm not, because I don't think I'm saying anything that's offensive. I think it's clearly there, right? When's the last time someone could pray? I mean, there's lots of things now on TV that no one bats an eye at. But in the 90s, if you said a prayer on TV, you would be in deep shit for a long time. Is that not true? And now Christians are upset about, we can't say prayers on TV. And I'd say, you see them all the time. You're talking about a 90s talking point.
Right.
Right? The spaghetti monster, all that stuff. Like, that's all 90s, like, lore that has stuck in Christians' brains 30 years later. And they can't get over it. So yeah. I think right now is a very interesting time. And I feel like the producers are being very smart about it, because they test the waters with everybody. Like, how Christian can you be and get away with it? And how much of the audience can you keep? You know, Luke, Maddie, all this kind of like, how sneaky can you be about it? But also how, like, regressive can you be about it? So they're picking the right people, and it's not honest of them to force us into the prayer. Like, you know, the woman that was, like, really touched that he did that.
What was she wearing?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. Craig, Caitlin, do you know who I'm talking about? You're right, Craig. Like, I cannot tell. It's night one. And like I always say, I skip night one because there's no point to it.
Well, let's get back to some
fashion. You might be talking about Rachel. Does that sound right to you?
No. I mean, nothing does.
Sounds
vaguely
right. So
she was a brunette, very pretty face, brunette with kind of straight hair. I think she was wearing like maybe a dark red dress, but I'm not totally positive.
I feel like it was a white dress lady.
But
I have no idea. Because go ahead.
Go ahead, Caitlin. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that Rachel, who I clocked as possibly a front runner, she did get to talk with Matt during that night, and she did also bring up religion and being really touched by the prayer and stuff like that.
Then it was her. Yeah.
I think it was her. Yeah.
I like Dildo Lady. That lady was cool. Like, she didn't.
Katie. Yes.
Katie. Loved her. I don't, not necessarily, like, I'm not a brash sexual person, as you guys know, I'm not. But I liked her. She did not like gross me out. She did not, take it too far. She kind of was, it was funny. It was like at a bachelorette party when you have like those penis.
Let's get risque here. Have either of you owned or been in possession of that
Craig,
style of
you
sex
can't
toy?
Ask us stuff like that. You can't. You cannot. But I will say that was a comical.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't realistic.
It wasn't real, no. Like, it was for show.
Yeah,
wasn't it pink and sparkly?
It was purpley.
Purple.
It was really
and it had, like, a light, like a Disneyland After Hours light thing.
Yes, because Matt called it a lightsaber, which I thought was very funny.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, that thing. Yeah, that's okay.
Well, also speaking of that,
cishet women, that's obviously she obviously brought it on as a joke.
Yes.
Yeah. But not for.
No question.
Yeah, okay.
One thing I really liked was lingerie woman who had her pick the dress. I thought that was a great
Craig, this is the straightest man thing you've ever said on the show. Yeah. Because no like woman I know liked that entrance at all. They were all like, ooh, secondhand embarrassment. Ooh.
Oh, really?
It was.
Well, I am a cishet man.
She wasn't like,
so I guess
she wasn't like super voluptuous. So it wasn't like, damn, like, whoa. But I mean, she's beautiful. She's thin. But it was just kind of one of these, like, why?
I thought it was good. She gave a good reason for it. She was like, I couldn't decide what dress, and I thought I'd have you decide what dress.
No, that's not the reason for that.
Craig. Yeah. She thought, what? How can I get on there in lingerie?
Good for her. I would have done the same thing.
You would have?
My life would probably be a lot different.
Showing up on TV wearing like a banana hammock and being like, pick out my outfit.
Good story. Do you want to play the...
Which REI tactical pants should I wear?
Do you want to play the unpopular drop, Easy Hour? It's like... Okay, cut. It's not funny when it's that part of the song. It needs to be the part of the song where it's actually saying, pop you.
Craig, you're missing the point of that. When you're telling a story, I'm playing that in the background. And then when you're done with your story, then I play, pop you.
Okay. Well, look, this isn't really, I had nothing to do with this. But when I was on the water polo team in high school, and did you guys do this in high school where you had like rallies, like sports rallies? Did you have those?
Pep rallies?
Yeah. Hey, cut it out, EZR. Well, anyway, where every sports team walks out in front of the, in the gym in front of the school. Anyway, we all walked out in our Speedo. It was pretty funny. Like just our Speedos.
Yes, which you all did because you wanted to show off.
Well, it was the idea. I wasn't a senior at the time. It was the idea of the seniors on the team to do it. And it was cool. I don't know. It was cool.
All right, Craig, what I'm saying here is the seniors. So the seniors, this is their idea, right? The reason why they wanted to do it is because they wanted to, like, obviously people are going to think it's funny, but also because they were like, check us out. Look at our bodies.
Sure.
That's exactly what that girl, her name was Kayla.
Good. Yeah, I'm not one of two Kaylas.
That she was like reverse engineering. The reason was she wanted to be able to show off her body, and therefore needed to come up with a reason for that. And the reason was this, you know, him picking out a dress will tell her a lot about his personality. And I do have to say that Matt picked the wrong dress of the two. He picked the uglier one.
Well, you couldn't even tell what the dresses look like because they were like scrunched up.
Yeah, they were rolled up, so I guess the hems wouldn't be like dragging on the ground. But he chose like the strapless red sparkly one, and the other one was like a silver thing. And I thought the silver one looked nicer on
it. It's the kind of thing where men would totally pick. They'll pick the one that looks like a clown, you know, because men are just like, oh, that one's colorful. Right, Craig? Like,
yes. Pick the colorful one. I like that strapless red number.
I like the one
that's probably would have picked the red one too, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. the point is, I like, look, she doesn't even bother me. Like, I think that was like, that's fucking bold. That's awesome in a way.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Exactly, but if I was in the house, oh my God, I'd be like, are you serious? Like,
well, that's what they did.
But here's where the angle that does bother me again. We're going old guard with this season, apparently. Not only that cold open that was super weird, but the Christianity with the raging sexual overtones. That's hypocritical. Isn't that frustrating to, like, why don't we just see, I'd rather see a good Christian show on PureFlix than, hey, what's going to happen behind this closed door? Well, you know, like, look, come on.
As Hannah Brown once told us, she can have sex and God still loves her.
Wow, come on.
Jesus still loves
bending her. The rules. Either you're all Christian and you play by the rules. You can't keep... This is where that slippery slope argument actually works. You keep doing that and then you're not Christian. That's like, you know, when people say God hates, insert someone there. You know, you get there because you're like, well, you know, I believe that that is not the only requirement to be a Christian, according to Christianity.
Okay, we got to talk about a few other things. Abigail, we got to talk about her. But first, speaking of crosses, let's talk about the two women who were wearing the same red dress that had the cross or X on the top. Was that cringe or not?
I didn't even notice.
I didn't even notice either.
You didn't notice that there were two women wearing the same dress? They had them stand next to each other most of the night.
Isn't that like a super old school problem?
In the rose ceremony, they were literally standing right in front of each other.
I mean, you assume that they're all getting it from like very similar places. There's only a few places someone on a budget can go to get like a designer gown.
I'm not shocked that amongst 34 women, you're going to have a duplicate dress. But I just thought, see, you're accusing me of being a cishet man and having these cishet man things. I'm going to accuse you of being cishet women, in which case you should be all appalled that they were wearing the same dress.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, I literally didn't notice because I only noticed or wrote notes about their dresses if it was something that like really, really stood out to me, because most of the dresses were boring, honestly. Like, I looked at them and was kind of like, that they all look the same to me anyway, so they might as well be all wearing the same exact dress.
They look like they were all cut out of like a sheer, you know, like a nice piece of cloth, and then they were just cut into a long rectangle and just sewn up the middle. Like, there was no real figures or fun or...
Yeah, right? There were only a handful that were, like, different. Like, I remember Brie was the first one out. She wore a green dress was different. Yeah,
but it was the color was different.
The color was different. It was a nice color. And Chelsea, the runway model, her dress was black and it had like a lot of cutouts in interesting places. So I remember that one.
She's a runway. I'm sure she gets them for free, right? She just keeps them. Like,
she probably has a connection. Yeah. Because it was a much nicer dress than most of them. And Kit's outfit was different also. She wore like
I hate that. That
I hated it. But it absolutely made sense for like her thing. Yeah, it was like a feather dress with sort of like combat boot kind of style bottom.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone knows what she looked like, but I'm just shocked that you guys didn't like it.
Feathers?
Craig, it was like 2008 Gossip Girl. Like,
yeah.
That's the second time you brought up Gossip Girl. Like, you brought it up on our text chat. I've never seen that show. You gotta give me some context here.
You'd love it.
you would love it, I think. It's, you know, it was like mid-2000s to late-2000s teen-based show based on books. But, like, the whole thing is, like, it's upper-crust New York City teens who are, like, very, very wealthy. East Coast New Yorkers going to private schools and, like, all of their drama and how they're all... you know, old beyond their years, because being a rich New York teen, of course you can drink at any bar you want and all of the drugs are available and all that kind of stuff. So that's like part of it too, but it was also known for its fashion because New York teens.
At the risk of me getting pissed off at the answer and ending the podcast forever, this could be our last episode. Give me a reason. Give me the reason why you think I would like that show.
What? Talking to me?
Well, Caitlin was like, oh, you'd love it. And then you said, yeah, you'd love it.
Why
would I love it?
All these shallow reasons. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Tell me.
Because it's drama filled.
Craig,
and it's
you
like...
are X and the show is Y. That's why you would love it, Craig.
It's drama filled. Craig loves drama. So that's one thing, right?
Okay.
It's also got a lot of fashion and you like talking about what people are wearing.
I do.
I also think it's because it's kind of like it's not a whodunit, but it's like it's well done. Okay. Right? Is that right? Honestly, I've only seen a few episodes, but it's like kind of like a whodunit, right, Caitlin?
Kind of. They do the very last season. They will tell you who, like, the Gossip narrator Girl is a character in the show. She's the narrator and she has an anonymous blog kind of thing. And they will tell you who Gossip Girl is at the very end of it. The answer will be disappointing, but that takes nothing away from how good the earlier seasons were.
Okay. Well, I have HBO Max, so I can watch it. So maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I have to say one thing. I love velvet tux. Top. I don't care what the bottom gray pants. I think that's an awesome look.
You mean what Matt was wearing?
At the end. He wasn't wearing it throughout, right?
Yeah, I think it was only at the end.
I think he was wearing it throughout because he was wearing a velvet tux from the beginning of when the women started coming in.
I know you said he was wearing the same thing, but I didn't notice it until the end. Maybe because of the lighting. I couldn't tell it was a velvet tux.
Yeah. I clocked it at the very start because I wrote a note about it saying, you know, it was a velvet tuxedo top. He had a bow tie, like regular white shirt, kind of a black tie look, other than the fact that it was velvet, then with the gray pants. And it was a cute look. It worked on him.
Well, is it customary for them to look too small on people? Like, it's still buttons, but it looks...
He's kind of a twig. So I got the sense, too. It's like, oh, it looks too small. But it's really his contours are very... toothpicky.
But I always see them looking like it looks like it's cinched on everyone who wears them.
Right.
Or is that just the look?
It was a little too cinched.
I think it's supposed to be like a little cinched at least, but he is very... he's got a very narrow waist area. He's not toothpicky, Craig, because he's got muscles. You saw all the shirtless shots.
Super mega
tall. I know.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, he's very tall. I looked this up after Chris Harrison was commenting on it, and there's no clear answer, but it appears he is somewhere in between 6'5 and like 6'7.
I think he's kind of too tall, at least for the women that they rolled out for him, because like, there's some legitimate size difference between him and some of the women.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I'm pretty short, and I would never date. I mean, it just would be very awkward, right? Like after a few.
When he kissed Abigail, he had to like. He was still towering over her. Right. He had to bend down and to the left. To get in there. Yeah, it was very...
My assumption is that wouldn't bother him at all because he's probably very used to it in terms of being that tall. Like, the only woman who came close to him in size was Chelsea, the runway model, because she presumably is... I think I looked up, she's supposedly around 6 foot tall. So with heels on, she's almost the same height.
She was the one I noticed that, like, that was at his height.
They were, like, on a height par. She was still a few inches shorter than him, but not extremely shorter. But my guess is because most women he's probably ever dated or kissed in his life are probably not 6 feet or above, that he is very used to having to, like, bend down to kiss somebody.
Right, but as a woman... If you have someone that's like well over a foot over you, that's so awkward. Mm-hmm. Actual impracticality. Like you might think, oh, that's fine. But I have friends who are very tall who have said to me, I won't date anyone that's like shorter than me. And that's a weird thing to say, but that's like in practice awkward, right, Caitlin? Like there's like obviously sex. But then there's also little weird things, you know, where you put things and where things are, like, if you live together.
I love it when Easier talks about sex because I know how uncomfortable you get.
Yes, I'm uncomfortable.
I think she was literally talking about, I thought you were talking about putting things on higher shelves, but yes, I can also see it being a sexual innuendo for you put things.
Right. There's definitely the sex issue, but there's also the issue of, like, household goods, you know, and like being in a car together, what's comfortable, little things that you're just like, comfort levels are strange.
Even but him some women like a really tall guy compared to them because they like, I don't know, they feel comforted or something, right? Protected.
It's seen as a desirable trait, I would say, generally, right? That like, I've definitely heard a lot of women say they like tall guys are hotter, etc. For me personally, I don't usually notice height very much with people I'm interested in, which sounds weird, but like, I think I'm bad at judging height when I meet somebody anyway. So I'm like, I literally have no, like, you're taller than me probably because I'm on the lower end of average height for an American woman. So I'm not like super short, but I'm not tall by any means. Yeah. And I've dated people who are like, 2 inches shorter than me, and I've dated people who are a foot taller than me, and I haven't, there's no like strong preference for me, I would say, either way, but I do know that a lot of women have said they have a strong preference for a taller guy. But I can also see, like, Easier, your point is the extreme height difference, not just like,
well, he is the extreme
or something, right?
I mean like, for the most part, I've dated people that are quote tall but not like basketball player. Like this guy.
This guy is, well, because he did play college football and then he got tryouts for a few pro teams, but he never like made them. So he has that kind of like athlete of an almost elite level kind of build. You know what I mean?
Seen that picture of what's the Yao Ming? Is that his name? Yeah. The basketball player with someone else and then Kevin Hart. It is. Like,
I don't think I've seen that exact picture, but
like I thought it was Photoshop. It was so like what, like below their waist. So anyway, my point is that if it's like comically, if it looks comical, then it's probably not going to really work out. Like, you know, I guess Shaq has his girlfriend who I've seen pictures of. That's like what, like it's awkward. You can make it work, but it's not like
there is a thing.
like minimal, it's still like a big deal in practical life.
Right.
Yeah, I think there is also a strong tendency for, if you look at like pro basketball players and pro football players and stuff who are men, mm-hmm. that their wives are often very much shorter than them.
Yeah, and true.
I think it's a thing almost that the men prefer rather than from a women's point of view, if that makes sense. Because as a woman, I'm like, I don't really care if you're my height or much taller. It's all kind of the same to me. But I think there is a thing where like some men do really like, oh, like a short little woman. Ooh, how cute. Right. Diminutive, yeah. You know?
Yes. No, I've gotten that so much. And I'm not like, I think I'm like,
you've gotten that so much.
Yeah. Like, you are so cute. You know, I could just fit you in my pocket. I won't tell you the story of my first pap smear, but the doctor like,
told whoa.
Oh God.
Whoa. Tell that story.
No, I'm not going to.
We use our imagination.
Well, I felt exposed and condescended. Yep. And diminutive. Okay.
I'm guessing you felt exposed, probably.
Yes. But it's, as someone who gets comment, just like, I'm sure it's annoying when you get told you're tall all the time. I get told, oh, you're so cute and little, you know, and it's just as annoying.
I know exactly what you mean, because like, as I said, I don't think of myself as a short person because I'm in that average height range, but I'm the shortest person in my family by quite a bit because my mom and sister are both tall women. And my mom frequently, when I was growing up, would always make jokes about how short I was. Huh. Like, she took me to doctors to be like, why isn't she growing more? Like, we're a tall people. And they're like, you have recessive short genes. Sorry, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's talk about Abigail. She won the first impression rose, of course.
That was weird.
And she's deaf.
Why did you say of course there, Craig?
Oh, just because everyone listening already watched the show.
Oh, all right. I thought you were implying there was some sort of like, of course Abigail was always going to win impression rose.
I'm just, because I'm saying what we already know. Here's the thing that came to my mind, and I don't want to sound insensitive here.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is a real interest. I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive, but I thought it was interesting that someone who's deaf would have the like vocal tick.
Mm. I didn't notice.
She said like three times a sentence. And I was like,
oh. I honestly didn't notice that either.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That is interesting, though.
Is that interesting?
That is. I was just, we were just, my kid is friends with someone who was also born deaf. And there's a lot of strange, I don't want to say strange, but I mean, they're different milestones. Mm-hmm. They're reached at different times.
Sure.
So, like, you know, there were, you know, the in the little interesting things, like, did you guys know that deaf kids tend to walk and not crawl? This is what I understand from the mother, because they want to put their head up because they can't hear. And so they're like, what's going on? What are those vibrations? And they tend to, like, want to be up, up more often. So they tend to walk. So like, huh. These little things that are, yeah, that is interesting, the like, because you wouldn't have adapted that. A lot of the vocabulary comes from overhearing conversation, not being talked to. Right. So if they never picked up the vocal pattern, or the, not vocal pattern, but the way people intonate things, why would you adopt that? Maybe she put it on herself to like adapt.
Well, I was thinking.
Well, she has a cochlear implant, which means she can hear with that in, right?
Now.
She mentioned it when they did the little like fluff at the beginning that talked about her. So she was born deaf. She has the implant now, and she also reads lips. So my guess is that she learned kind of this speech pattern from, you know, either hearing other people with the implant or even just reading their lips and seeing that that's something that people will do, is have the filler words. And, you know, in kind of learning from that and saying like, well, that's something I should have too.
Mm-hmm. Right. She does. She does have that. I don't want to call it an. It's not an accent. It's like you can hear something. I was going to say
they must have come a long way in how they approach teaching deaf people to talk, because she really had very minimal, like, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, I don't know what the proper word is. Not accent, but mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So, but that could be the implant too.
Yeah.
But hey, we're talking about things we don't really know about.
I noticed at the beginning of the show, she was one of the people that they highlighted, and they show her picking out an outfit, and she talks about being deaf and having the cochlear implant, right? Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought was like, oh, I hope that the other women and the show is not going to be like an asshole to her. You know what I mean? Because she has a disability, and I think this show, you know, they've often been so bad with like racism and sexism, and I absolutely assumed that there would be a lot of ableism involved.
They would, honestly, maybe 5 years ago, but at this point they would never. They would definitely,
right?
That's kind of like, yeah, like I said, we're more likely at this point to see a lot more covert racism / if you're not Christian, what are you doing here? Than we are to see anything related to someone's disability. And do you guys remember Heather Craig? I don't think she was from Colton season, and that's the first season you saw, Caitlin, right? But she didn't, she had like a prosthetic arm.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they honestly, what I like about them is that they mention it and then they move on, which is what they did with, I think her name was Heather.
Right.
Super like, yeah, they're very good about that. Because they know the talking points of, like, I don't think it's because they wouldn't. I think it's because they know they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is still a flavor of, so when Matt was talking to Abigail one-on-one and then he kisses her, the only woman that he kissed on this first episode.
Except
and
for also that gives her girl.
That's true, but that wasn't really his.
Yeah, that wasn't fair. Yeah.
That wasn't really his choice per se. And ooh, yeah. Those noodles, dry as hell. No sauce in the noodles?
No, and then she picked it up with her finger. And like,
okay, so okay, gross. Okay, let's stay on track here.
Hated it. Gross. But yeah, they're having that conversation. Abigail's the only woman he chose to kiss. And then he gives her the first impression rose. And I felt like they did have a nice vibe together, right? That it seemed like things were going well. I liked that choice for him. But I did also feel like there was kind of a subtle ableism happening in him being like, you know, oh, you're so brave. You've overcome so much. And it's like, yes and no. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, well, I might be reading way too much into this, but that part of the reason why he's so impressed with her is that he sees her overcoming, which I'm like saying in quotes, a disability as this real strength, right? As opposed to seeing it as like, this is part of who she is, who she has always been and who she will always be. And yes, she operates in a hearing world and she operates very well in a hearing world. But I think it's like the other side of the, you know, they're not making fun of her disability. Instead, they're saying like, oh, you're so disabled. Like, what a good girl you are, you know?
Right.
Like, it also is like a gross feel, but it's too early to tell if that's what he's actually saying about her. You know what I mean?
It's too early to tell even if she would want that, because did she get the rose for that reason? You know, did producers tell him to give the, like, you know, he likes everybody.
I had a suspicion that, right with what Caitlin was saying, that he translated her disability into strength, and that is his, that was what he was looking for that first night. So I think it was all on
But I don't think it's like that he doesn't like her for any other reason or thing. She's obviously very beautiful and she seems super sweet and nice, so like those are all qualities he clearly likes. But I think he likes several of the women at this point, and that there is the chance that him seeing like, oh, because she has this disability and this background, that he's reading it as strength that she's able to operate in this world, and the strength is a desirable characteristic. And that's all super complicated stuff, right? Like, we don't really know what's going on there.
Well, there was also this awkward moment where he obviously, I think here on this side of it, on this side of the screen, he wanted to kiss her. And she kind of was like, And then he went in for the kiss, but they didn't exactly frame it awkwardly, but they did. They didn't put the music. They kind of let that moment simmer. And then he had to make eye contact with her to get a kiss. And I feel like she was like, oh, okay. Like, she did not seem excited.
Right.
Or I'm reading it wrong. Whereas, you know, this is what happens with the few deaf people I know. You do have to make eye contact all the time, and it looked awkward on TV, but it wasn't. It was just the way it operates. But it was like, yeah, he might have, like, to give both of them the benefit of the doubt, he might have liked so many women, and the production is like saying what you're saying, you're doing, Caitlin, like, well, you know, if you give it to her, it'll look good, and you will look like you are championing this cause.
Right.
Yeah, I think we won't know whether or not that's what's going on for many more episodes, but I didn't notice the kiss being awkward. I think you have a good point about, yeah, like the deaf people that I'm friendly with as well. A big part of it is making sure that, like, you're making eye contact and you're facing them, because if they're lip reading and you're like turned to the side or something, they're not going to be able to tell what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it is really important to be like face on, you know, so it might have read as slightly more awkward because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Anyone?
That's it. I mean, unless you guys want to talk about Kit.
We could talk about Kit a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll I don't like Kit at all. Kit.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyone have anything to say about the dildo lady? What was her name? Katie.
Katie, the dildo lady.
Yeah.
Which
kind of
say.
Rhymes. Nice meter there, Katie. Yeah. Lady.
She I liked her a lot. I liked her attitude. And nothing else to say about her, fine, but go ahead, Kate.
Oh, I was gonna say, I wanted to point out someone who I think might also be a front runner who we haven't mentioned before, is Kayla, the North Carolina girl who drove up in the pickup truck.
Yeah.
I think that we didn't get like too much from her yet, but I think he clearly likes her. The North Carolina connection is real. That's a thing. Like, I've lived in North Carolina, so the moment she was like, oh, I'm from North Carolina, let me bring the sweet tea, and he's like, yes, a North Carolina girl. She's also obviously incredibly beautiful, because like 99% of these women are unreal looking. But yeah, I just wanted to point out that she's a person who seems like she is probably going to go pretty far in the show.
Yeah.
And just like Tayshia last season, I had so much connection with, I don't get this North Carolina thing, or this like, oh, I like that sucky Kit, man, whatever. It's really hard to say. Like, oh, you're going to miss New York. I know you're a New Yorker now. And he's like, I'm not actually a New Yorker. I love that.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
Did you ever watch that show, Disney cartoon back in the day, called Tailspin?
Yes, I still watch it.
Yes.
There was a character named Kit Cloud Kicker. The kid, a little baby bear.
Yeah. It was the daughter of Rebecca, right? Or no?
The son,
okay.
I think he was orphan.
Don't you think that Rebecca was modeled right, like, from Aunt Becky? Like, she looks like her.
I always thought that too, actually. That's funny you mentioned that. So Kit, see, the thing is, even her,
did you like her, Craig?
I don't think she makes a good villain either, because she's 21 years old, which means she really legitimately has no chance. And I just don't like the idea of a villain honestly having no chance.
Yeah, but Craig, okay, Caitlin can give you more and better information than this. She's 21, which means she's not on for the right reasons. Hold on a second. Since we're going to talk about Kit.
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reasons. Yeah. I think my singing ability is underrated. I think with some proper training, awesome. If I had some proper training, you know, like if I were to go on a singing show and have like a professional work with me, I think I could be pretty.
Yeah, you could have been a contender. Caitlin, why is Kit so sucky? Tell us about her clothing line.
All right, I will. I wanted to point out your impression of Kit. I loved because I literally wrote down in my like little notebook where I take notes as I'm watching that Kit's voice is annoying. So you hit that nail on the head. I was texting you about both of you in our group chat about Kit the moment like the cast list was released and they showed their headshots and their little bit of information because I clocked her immediately as a person I would not like. Mm-hmm. Because
you said she would be with she's a great match for Bennett.
Yes.
Which I don't agree
and
with.
And I am not the only person on the internet who is saying she's a great wife for Bennett. She has a lot of Bennett qualities, honestly. She is also that moment with her arrival, being in a Bentley and her saying she didn't like the rideshare vibe of being in a limo is a very Bennett kind of move, right? But what her background is that Kit is a socialite in New York City. She's a college student also. I believe she's at NYU, if I'm remembering correctly. But her mother is Cynthia Rowley, who is a very well-known designer. So she has grown up in a certain environment of a lot of money. Her mother is extremely wealthy.
And then she has $150 $5 yes. hoodies.
She has these, what I think are incredibly ugly hoodies. She has her own clothing line called Kit. KIT in capitals,
which is why she made sure to emphasize her name.
Yes, right. It's also why she says she's a fashion entrepreneur as her like career. She has this line, and what is on her website right now? I don't know if they've done other stuff in the past, but what's currently on offer is all just a bunch of sweatshirts that are like some artist collaboration, but they all look hideous, and they're $150, but the designs are like $5 kind of things. It's very. Mm-hmm. She is obviously a wrong reasons kind of person. If you look at her Instagram, her whole thing is branding herself both as like a fashion entrepreneur who sells stuff, but also she's trying to get into the lifestyle space, the health and lifestyle space, I would say. She has a lot of exercise Instagrams and things like that. So she's clearly a branding person. I also thought it was very telling. She repeats this line twice in this episode, both times in relation to Victoria. She is very upset that Victoria is calling herself a queen. She doesn't like it at all.
Right.
And she really hates when Victoria calls her a princess, which is exactly what she is. Obviously, she is literally a princess, like a spoiled.
Yeah. Well, she says that
New York City socialite princess, right?
The CEO. They had her say it twice, which was funny.
They had her say it twice about being, you know, she's a CEO, she's a president, she's a king. And it's like, no, she's not. She's a 21-year-old who rides her mother's coattails. She's none of those things. But that's how she wants to see herself as like, you know, she's not a queen or a princess. She's a CEO.
Right. She's made it. No, she's more entitled than I'm sure Victoria. You know, she's more like privileged than someone who would call themselves the queen. But, hold on a second. Kit and go ahead. I lost my train of thought. Something about her being. She has huge Hannah Ann vibes to me, Craig. That and with everything we've told you, I know you loved Hannah Ann, but this girl doesn't like irk you the way Hannah Ann
irks me.
Okay.
She irks me. I'm not a Kit fan.
And McKenna.
Yeah, I could see that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm not a Kit fan right now, and I don't plan on being one. She didn't do or say anything that jumped out at me as being particularly great, and I don't like that she's 21. So
I thought you were going to defend her for some reason.
No.
Oh,
sorry. Okay. Sorry to disappoint you.
It's because you defended her outfit before, Craig.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
put it on yourself.
I wouldn't call it. I wouldn't. No. I mean, I just wouldn't. I didn't have anything to say bad about her outfit. I mean, it was a total millennial kind of thing to wear the boots with it. But yeah, I was just like, okay, it's different. But
well, she's not a millennial though.
She's a zoomer.
She's a zoomer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's younger than we have ever seen.
I know.
She's really young. Like, I'm realizing now she was probably born in the 2000s.
I think she was actually, based on a tweet, I think she was born in 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was born in 1999. So she is technically a 90s baby. Ugh. I mean, she's of a similar age to Hannah Ann, as you're pointing out, right? Hannah Ann was also, what was she, 22 or 23 when she was on Peter's season?
Yeah, but she also uses that whole, like, you know, well, I know I said this, but I want to make sure I hammer this point. She was saying, look, to Queen Victoria, I'm not privileged like you. I'm a boss babe, you know, but really, like, it's the exact hypocrisy, but it's the exact hypocrisy we're talking about, where she acts like, no, I did not, you know, just land into this. I earned it, but she didn't. And
yeah,
she has to use those, like, the titles that sound earned. Like COO or whatever she said, CF, whatever. Yeah. So I think that even if I had gone in with none of Caitlyn's, like, background that I, because I was kind of like, look, I'll give her a chance. And then I heard that, I was like, nope. Caitlyn's right all the way. Hate her.
Yeah,
I think the immediate dislike for me was the same stuff about how I immediately disliked Bennett on site, is she gives me the same sort of vibe, right? As, like, this very kind of snotty East Coast elite kind of thing, right? Where she thinks she's somebody who's earned everything she's gotten, but actually she comes from massive privilege, but she would never acknowledge that that's what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, Craig, you are all nothing else you'd like to add, Craig?
Let's just go ahead and end here. Thanks for listening, everyone. I thought we did a good job. I'm kind of glad we didn't do a countdown episode, because I think we did a good job of covering all the women now that we know a little bit about them. And it was cool to have the fashion be the... Maybe we should do that more often.
No, it only works on night one, because we only know them by their dress.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
okay.
The previews, anything exciting to report?
No.
I don't even remember what was in the previews, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think it was your standard, like, Matt's crying at some point, talking to Chris Harrison about some sort of, you know, he doesn't know how he's going to do this kind of thing. They did show him kissing a few women. It looked like from the preview, because I remember noticing this at the time, Katie, the dildo lady, he's kissing her, I think, in one of the previews. So she makes it at least several more episodes.
Yeah.
So no, does it look like sex happens?
They did not even hint at any
we'll
of
find
it.
Out.
Ah, Craig.
We will find out.
Yes, I know we will. I just like talking about it. Okay, that's why I have this podcast with you.
Okay, follow us on social media and leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.